All right. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just are always amazed by your word. We thank you for everything that you do. We ask that we can continue to focus, to concentrate, and just ask that you clear the way and for us to understand better about our purpose in your plan. We thank you for all these things that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We left off with speaking about thanksgiving, giving thanks in verse 20. And let me read it one more time just so we can wrap our heads around it. It says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, if you walk up to someone and tell them this, they'd probably look at you or like you were crazy. Even if you left off the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. If you said, always give thanks in all things, they'd probably think, oh, really? I mean, that's a little far out there, you know? And it's true. They'd either laugh at you or they'd look at you like you're crazy. So, but we know this is the Word of God. And we have two words to help us understand what all should be included in this thanksgiving. So, this is really an attitude of thanksgiving, as you probably already know. The first word is always. That means always, and it also means at all times. It means consistently. This is a time relational aspect of a word that means always. At all times. And then, so when we can see that this word is referring to more like a state or something that you consistently can think with always or at all times, we can begin to see that it's really an attitude and it's something that you can't really fake. It's not something that you can just say, although you can say it. It's not referring to that. This is saying that it happens all the time, at all times. So it's coming from, this is from your soul. This is an internal aspect of what the Word of God, and I feel like the entire spiritual life, does for us. It allows us to express this thanksgiving right here. And then you think, well, I looked at this, I think, well, you know, might be asking yourself, well, what about when I'm sick or maybe even going through some very difficult times? What about testing? Are these included in this? You kind of have to ask yourself that. And, well, the verse actually answers the question. It says, always giving thanks in all things. Those things are included in that. The bad, the good, the things that seem like, you know, should I be thankful for this? Really? Yes. Even those things are included in that. So, in a better translation, you see I have because of, because there's a preposition in there that indicates cause or the means by which we are thankful for. And that's why I put because of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the real reason how or why we are even able to express this, right? Christ opened the door to allowing us entrance into this spiritual life where we can partake, where we can participate, where we can even have anything to do with fellowship, because we're so far away from that before being a believer in Jesus Christ. So this is just pointing to the fact that, you know, through, and I like the way it just says the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. And as you know, there's a lot of scripture that just mentions the name, because the name Jesus Christ, behind that name, there's a cross and a person and a God and someone that loves us enough that came down, condescended to be a human being and opened this door to thanksgiving from, this is a soul thing. So That's why I like that translation. Or you could say, always giving thanks for all things on behalf of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you look around us, things aren't perfect. We know that. Things are falling apart. We're falling apart. The world is falling apart. You know, there's a sin nature. There's evil. There's things that we don't necessarily like or agree with. And this includes our own bodies because of a sin nature. But this says all things. It says all things. And we have to take it into consideration. We have to know that this is the Word of God. And all things means all things. I really think it means everything. Every single thing. God didn't create what we have, but we can be thankful that it's here. And I'm referring to even the bad. Even evil. Even a sin nature. Even the difficulties that are created by ourselves. Even the fact that whatever happens, there's an aspect of this that can always be related back to the divine. Because God has already created and planned and thought about and created a buffer and a solution to get not only through it, but be prosperous through this. Without someone falling, you can't save them. There's a plan in place that includes the bad things. God is not sinful, and He didn't create sin, He didn't create evil, but He planned for it. He knew about it. He was smarter than it. And He worked His plan in a way where it can not only be defeated, but we can live in this life in such a way where we can defeat it as well and live. Look at what we have. We have just the two verses that we looked at. That's the kind of things we have access to in a sinful body. That doesn't really sound fair, and it doesn't really make sense. Who would do that? Who would allow a sinful person that has rejected a path back? That's where that big G word comes in, grace, right? Because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. He took it upon Himself to provide a solution, just even to enter into this plan. And that's why I feel like this word, give thanks in all things and always, why it applies. Because think about, we could be not here. You know, we don't take that into consideration a lot. We were created. We're born. You're a human being. You have a soul. There's other souls that aren't here, that were never created, you could say, if you want to look at it like that. But you were specifically created to be here, to be able to take part in the spiritual life. Now, that has something to say for it, I feel. Because we've all been hand-selected, each person hand-selected to be placed on this earth in the time we're in. And what we're seeing, you know, we look and we see pretty bad things, but we're here for a reason. And I think this church plays a critical role in that reason. Where, you know, it's very specific when it comes to the time, what's happening in our country, what we see. We have to kind of orient to that because our lives are lived within that bubble. You know, we're not in this country. We're not in that country. We're in this country. And we're in this city. We're in this county. And these are the rules they have. These are the things that they do right. These are the things they do wrong. But these are the people that are in charge. And we're operating within that area. It's really the details that we need to begin to see, that God has placed us in a place in life that requires us to continue to do what you're doing. It requires growth. It requires to grow to spiritual maturity so He can be glorified and we can see His solutions through everything that we're doing. And so always giving thanks in all things definitely, definitely applies. And bring that down to your level. Bring it to what you see, what you do, who you're around. Those are the things that God is waiting and willing and wanting for you to apply His word within that bubble. The bubble can get bigger, but we all have an immediate bubble, right? It's within that home or within your immediate family, and it just goes from there. It goes wider and wider and wider. So don't be discouraged when you look around and see sin, because God has already planned for that sin. And He's already provided through that sin. And that includes Satan. That includes everything that every politician or leader in a position of authority does that goes against everything that God is for. That includes that. So even though they are trying to circumvent Him and His plan, work around that, guess what? He's planned for it, and He's provided for it, and He's provided us a way to walk right through it and be successful and watch Him win. So, it's okay to watch things fall apart and break down. It's actually, you know, part of the plan, you could say. It is. It's part of the plan. So just be aware that God has already taken any bad decision that mankind can make in the past, present, and the future, and has taken them into account and provided a perfect solution. Perfection and imperfection come together in a funny way that God has designed. Now, we can't always understand it. Just like the verse said, you can't even understand the peace of God, but you have it. It's not even part of our human understanding to be able to walk through the details and see exactly how God is giving you the peace that you have when someone else in the same, your shoes would be, their hair would be have already fallen out. See, it doesn't make sense to the human mind of what we have, but we have it. And because of this, we have every reason in the world to be thankful, despite the imperfection that man has caused. So it's His grace, His love, His righteousness and justice, and just that His whole divine system that will not be compromised. They won't be compromised. He's perfect. His plan is perfect. Just because the world is imperfect doesn't mean that changes anything on His end. And that's comforting. That's part of who God is. Immutability. He's unchanging. He won't go from one extreme to the another just because we made a bad decision and seem to just shake His entire plan up. No, it was all pre-planned and thought of before it actually happened. So when you think of all this, think of the fact that we've been granted access to this. It's been a granting that we have. You know, we get discouraged sometimes because there's plenty of pain, suffering, there's problems, difficulties, things that will push you to the limit because of our limited human abilities combined with an old sin nature. There's a lot on your plate. I get that, right? We all understand that. But we have every reason to be thankful because of the ability to be a part of having this perfect relationship. We have this perfection that we are able to be a part of right here. Perfect God, perfect plan. And with that comes with all the things that you will ever need to overcome anything. That's the encouraging part. Even though despite the sin nature, the negativity, the pain, the suffering, there's always something that God can give you that can get you through and get you out of the problem you're in. And I'm not just referring to this. I'm referring to in a soul. This is a spiritual issue, right? It always is. And God takes care of the physical as well. But just goes to show you who's in control, doesn't it? Not only does He control the physical, but He controls the spiritual, if we allow Him to. Just have to give Him access. Use the resources that He's provided. Drink from the bucket. So yes, this does include suffering and even dying. We can be thankful for these things because it's been pre-planned. And I mentioned the other day about those who, you know, I was talking about discipline and certain people at the end stages of life And in the context, we were referring to those that have a spiritual life that is lukewarm. That's not necessarily in tune. But, you know, you have something available to you in the dying stages of life that God just continually gives you grace. And He continually provides solutions even in the midst of pain and suffering. Those things have a purpose. And for the growing believer in Jesus Christ, the purpose is different for the believer that is not growing. There's a different purpose in pain and suffering. So that's something to be thankful for. That you can not only be passing tests and glorifying God when things are smooth, but you can be passing tests and glorifying God on your deathbed. That's encouraging. And I've seen it happen, and I'm sure you have too, that people have a different attitude in their soul because of what's in their soul, the spiritual food that God has given the ability to think with. And to them, it's no longer about the physical. There's a transition process. They're going home. That gets exciting. I mean, it gets me excited just thinking about it. When we get closer to the one that we've been studying all of our life, getting closer to where we're going to be for eternity, getting closer to where, you know, everything, where all this is leading, we get to see and better understand and know and see what you have, see what you got. It's going to be fun. So see, the process, it's a process. But it all boils down to we have every reason in the world to be thankful for. Because, and like I said the other day, those who receive discipline at the end stage of their life, there's always a different motivation when it comes to the person who is faithful and the person who is not. But remember the audience who we are talking about here in Ephesians. Faithful believers, a growing congregation. Yes, there's some issues. We know Paul's discussed those, and we discuss those too sometimes. Doesn't mean they're all church issues, but they do apply to us some way or another, I feel. So this is all about the growing believer, but for any believer, it's about who takes advantage of the things that God has given him. Who takes advantage of this? Do we come here, just sit here and that's it? Or do we take advantage of what we've been given? Because God's given you the opportunity to experience His love and His grace even in the dying stages of your life. So that's an important part. He doesn't all of a sudden just, okay, they're about to die, so I'm just going to leave them alone. I'm just going to put them off right over here and that's it. No. That's probably the most focused time of the believer's life, depending on how long that lasts. There's a lot to do in that time frame. There's a lot of thinking. There's a lot of applying that happens there. Could be weeks, months of a person's life. So He provides the same that He always has provided, but because He's immutable is why. That's His perfection, that He's waiting on us to give us more. So we can be thankful for that. And there's absolutely nothing in this life that it can throw at you, life can throw at you, that can't be handled successfully. I truly believe that. I truly do believe that through what God has provided. So, and part of this thanksgiving is, and I'll read the word here in a minute, but is resting on the shoulders of God's eternal life, isn't it? Part of thanksgiving as we go through life, there's part of the divine viewpoint. I feel like we always refer back to the spiritual. We refer back to the eternal. We refer back to the permanent. All this is just a transition period for us. So when we're thankful, we're not just thankful for, you know, the now, the physical. We're thankful for what lasts for eternity. If that's not something to be thankful for, I don't know what is. This is God has allowed us to not only collect now, but to keep. To keep and to hold. Isn't that what the Echo Zone is all about? To hold on. To pack your bag and to walk up that mountain with that bag packed. not just go through life and get this and get that accomplished and get it done, and then all of a sudden it's just a thought. No, this is something that you take with you. It's spiritual value. That's exciting to me, because we're not doing these things just for nothing, even though sometimes it feels that way. It feels, because you don't instantly always see the gratification you may be looking for in a certain scenario, but that's not necessarily what it's all about. This is about how you feel, and it's about how your relationship is in your soul to God. How you think. So eternal value. Another reason. Do you see the word here in blue? It means to be thankful. And I like this. To feel obligated to thank. Makes sense. It's Eucharisto. Now the word, of course, it's a verb, present, active, participle. And you can see the two words that it consists of. It's EU. That means good. And then you kind of see the word charis. That's grace. Good grace. So thanksgiving is actually a beginning, you an acknowledgement of God's grace. You're starting to recognize and see that God's grace is good. Not only is it good, it works. And it's amazing. So, and what is God's grace for? It's for your eternal gain and His glory. All good stuff. And then look what the verse does. It gives us the source and the reason why we can be thankful at all times. Because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So when we look at Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was basically a manifestation of God's love towards us. That's a picture of love. When we see the cross, it's God tracking you down. It's God coming to you, coming to the realm of this earth and saying, I want a relationship back. Even though you ran from me, you denied me, you rejected my word, I want it back. And that's what we've been given. So that's the love we see in that aspect. And then if you look at that, that you can really kind of understand why part of this definition of our verb here meant to feel obligated, to give thanks. Obligation, because every believer in Jesus Christ, I think, should feel obligated to thank Christ for providing eternal life. While we're on this earth. So, all by grace. I think you can pick up on the fact that we didn't earn this. We didn't deserve any of it. It's just been granted. It's been given. So when I see obligation, to me that means, what comes with an obligation? Well, it means service. It's our obligation, our duty to serve God, to be obedient to Him. I think that's our obligation. I think that's our response. I think that's part of being thankful, don't you? When you're thankful to someone, you want, there's a response back. Something comes out of you that is a reaction. Maybe it's in your soul. Maybe it's an expression. Maybe it's something you say or do, but there's something. When you're thankful, you think about things differently. And when we look at Jesus Christ on the cross, we can say, yeah, I'm thankful. But we're not talking about just saying it. Saying it is one thing. I'm referring to this obligation that comes with thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving is all about. It's a mindset that has, there's something behind a thanksgiving, that there's been so much given to me. What else can I do but serve, but give back, but sacrifice my entire life for this? Is it a sacrifice? No. All I'm doing is being thankful for what I've been given, and I'm taking advantage. I'm taking advantage of the time. That's the thankfulness that we need to focus on here. The time. We kind of led up to this, remember? Make the most of your time. Well, if we are doing that, that shows your thanksgiving in your soul. When you're thankful, your life is an indicator of that thanksgiving. That's what it's all about. We're not just thankful because we say it. We're not just thankful maybe even because we show it. We're thankful because we think it in our soul, in our mind. That's why you're thankful. That's where it really comes out. That's how the whole entire Christian service comes about in your life. It's because you recognize what God is doing. You recognize His grace. And you just want more and more to serve Him because you realize, you know, I didn't do anything for this, but I think it's pretty awesome that I have it. So I'm going to keep going and I want to serve and I want to do it God's way. It's nothing extremely complicated here. It's just something that is undeserved that we need to be aware of. That's all. God's grace. So cheer up, you know, when we look around us and there's things that are sad maybe or you're in adversity, don't lose sight of the big picture of where you are. You're a believer in God's plan who is going to win and who has actually already won. Okay? We just go through a lot of things that God had to put us through because of the sin nature that we have. It all is part of the plan. And if we didn't have these things, we wouldn't be growing to spiritual maturity. We wouldn't have a point of reason for salvation. But it's all been given. It's been provided. It's amazing. So there's a reason to be thankful. And with thanksgiving, I think, comes a little bit different attitude as well. It's kind of doom and gloom. Depression, if you're not thankful. Same old thing. Go through life, you know, here we go again. Look what God has given me. Look what my lot is in life. No, that's not the attitude that this is always being thankful is saying, you know what? Okay, maybe I need to change my attitude. Because God put this here for a specific reason. He put this relationship with this person, the person that I'm always complaining about. They get on my nerves. I can't stand being around them for more than 10 seconds. But God keeps putting this day that I'm around them for some reason. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Because there is a reason and a purpose, and it always goes back to the big picture. The spiritual significance of the purpose, of the reason. There's no, you know, always hear this. Even people say it that are unbelievers. Everything happens for a reason. And that is absolutely true. That is true. And it has more repercussions than we can even understand. But I really think that that is true. And especially when you think of timing in your life, where you're at because of timing, it's down to the millisecond and even finer than that when it comes to God's timing. So we've got to be open and aware to realizing that this isn't something to be down about. This is something to be grateful and thankful for because God has given us the things that we have, the people in your life, and where we're at in the big picture. And it's very specific. It's focused. And it's custom, I think. Each individual person here is unique. Everybody's unique. So when you come to recognize this obligation, I think we all do as we continue to grow. You want to return. You want to return the service. You want to return your willingness to serve and be obedient. That's thanksgiving when it comes to the spiritual realm of God's design. It's really almost an unusual concept when you think about someone who was faithful to us. They loved us. And they only desire a reflection of that back. And we didn't deserve this to start with. But they did it beforehand. They loved us and they were faithful to us. Even all these things we go through in our life where we had times where we were rejected, we weren't faithful. They are seeking. God is seeking and He's looking and He's trying to find. And He just wants it back. He wants you to love Him back. Isn't that amazing? That's something to be thankful for. How many people in the human aspect seek for that reason? How many people love for that reason? How many people are thankful for that reason? Well, they're not God. verse number one. Let's make that clear. You can get really confused if you start thinking in the human sense. But our motivation must always be correct, and it always is correct when we're in this realm of thinking. Thankfulness, filled with the Spirit. And it's so easy to, you know, and then the question becomes, how can someone just walk away from someone that cares so much about them? How can that, you know, our minds really can't understand this, but this is what we do. How can someone just walk away from someone that wants only the best? They want to see them prosper because we want that for ourselves. And someone that's rejecting and walking away, what is that saying? It's deception. That's what it's saying. They've been deceived. That's all it is. They're just confused. They're human people. They're people that are not seeing the truth of what God wants to do in their life. That's the reality. God wants to help. God wants to serve you. God wants to give you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. Now, if anyone tells you any different, they're a liar. Because that's what the Word of God tells me. And that's what we see in our own lives, is He wants to do these things for us. Only the best. And then on top of that, He gives us everything to succeed. He wants to, He follows you, He seeks you, He is faithful to you, and then He wants you to succeed, and He gives you everything on top of that to do so. Who does that? Nobody. Nobody does it. Can't even do it to your kids. You can try, but not to this extent. You got to ask, how is it possible to reject this? Or to not show any response in the service to this? How is it even possible? Especially when there is no human on this earth that is capable of loving you in the same way that God is. God's love does not seek its own or take into account a wrong suffered. Remember? Wow. Well, we have that available to us as well. We have that same exact love that He loves you with to express to other people. That's what He gives us. We just heard a similar verse, didn't we? Look what this one says. Whatever you do in word or deed, that means everything, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to the Father, to God the Father. There's another one. And it should be obvious who our thanksgiving is through at this point, but you see the point. Do all, word or deed, as unto the Lord. And there's some other aspects of verses that bring out the name of the Son of God that refer to salvation. Salvation. 1 John 5:13, John 3:18. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's a good verse. So Jesus Christ is where all of our thanksgiving comes from, and how we can even be thankful. So then we have verse 20, moving right along. 21. It says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Thanksgiving. Keep that in your mind as we go forward in this verse. Thanksgiving. Look at what the Greek word to subject means. Now, this is the general statement. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I don't know if I gave you that. No, I didn't. The word is hupotasso, and it means to place or rank under, to subject. Specifically, it consists of two words, under and arrange. To arrange under. This is a mind, a concept, of a thinking concept here. To mentally place ourselves under in God's arrangement, submitting to Him first. Now, how is that affected to other people? Well, here's some other translations. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. The ASV, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. And I like the way this says it, of submission. The word subject means of submission in the sense of voluntarily yielding in love. Whoa. When you think about other people, think about this concept, how much trouble it can get you out of and how many problems you can go around when you don't mentally place yourself above them. Think about that. We're starting to get into something that has to do with thanksgiving and humility. And I can't tell you the problems that you can go right, slide right around when you have this understanding of submitting first to God and having an attitude of humility in God's plan with other people. Other people. Strangers, it doesn't matter who it is. Because guess what? This is something that you have before you even speak. It's before you even speak. I'm not talking about looking and getting an attitude and all of a sudden your rank goes up just because of what they look like. That is not what this verse is saying. Or because of who they're hanging around with. Not what this verse is saying either. It says to one another. Or to what they do or to where they are in life. It doesn't matter. You name it. When we rise that meter of I'm better than them, or I would never do that, or that, you know, you can teeter on that arrogant part there. But this is what we need to be. This is the mindset we need to be. If we're going to serve, if we're going to be servants, can you imagine if Jesus would have had the opposite attitude of this? Oh, these sinners, I'm not going to be a part of that. I got to go eat with these people. Are you kidding? I got to be around these people. No way. Jesus Christ himself had this. He had to. Because if you're going to serve, you have to be on the field. And there's people that are going to be not where you are. They're going to be just the opposite of this. They're going to want to draw this aspect back into you, and they're going to want to pull that arrogant meter out of you just because of their personality. But it's your mission. If you're going to serve, you've got to keep this in place because you can continually give them grace too. Because that's what they need. They're confused and they're lost and they need the word. And if you go to where they are in your, wherever that is, what good are we doing? Are we effective or ineffective? We can't go up on that meter of I'm better than them. We can't do that. Has nothing to do with rank or leadership. This is a Christian attitude that we can have toward everyone. Humility. Humility. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. The verse that follows, verse 21, will bring out a more specific roles of what the submitting of where it applies, but it begins right here, in the general sense. It doesn't mean you allow someone to take advantage of you. That's not what this is referring to. It's a mindset. How do you think? How do you feel about certain people when they're around you? And here's where the focus of the verse is. The word in, you see the word in? This is showing us the means by which how are we to pull this off. In the fear of Christ. That's how we're going to pull it off. That's how we're going to have a mindset of humility. To not placing rank above others. Because being subject to is in the passive voice. So guess what? You're receiving that attitude. You're receiving that from your fear of Christ. And fear doesn't mean you're going running in a corner and hiding. It means respect. It means honor. It means reverence. you have. It means a worship, a dedication, a being faithful to Him because you are thankful. Because you want to serve. Because you know what He's done for you and you respect that ultimately. That's a big deal. Reverence, respect for Christ. And as you well know, God's plan has other people included that in your life, that are going to be in your life. God uses other people to further His plan. But before we can be used as believers, you first have to be usable. You have to be prepared. Believe it or not, this word has to do with capacity. God cannot put you in a position where you rank yourself over other people mentally. He can't use you. If it gets to your head wherever you are, He can't use you. If you want to be in that high position and that making all that money with all that responsibility, but you get the opposite of this attitude, He can't use you. You got to be usable. You can't think you're better than everybody else because of where you are. Not going to work. That's not how God's system operates. You can't be used if God blesses you beyond anything you can desire and then you get this mindset because of all the blessings you have. He can't use you. That's part of capacity. Humility is being able to handle the things that God has given you. And if we can handle that with humility, because we know we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, God's just dumping it on us, you can apply that mindset to other people and speak to them in a way that where you're on their level, lower than their level, because you understand. You understand what they need. And you understand we have a sin nature too that knows how to muck things up. So, other people. And having this reverence for Christ is part of the preparation. That's part of our preparation. Reverence, this honor, that's where the humility comes in. First you have to recognize and then you have to respond to the authority of God's Word. I know that sounds hard, but that's part of the process. If we can just begin to respond, and believe it or not, you're already doing that. You do that consistently. You respond to not just some word, you respond to the authority of God's Word. That's huge, because that's what we need to be able to have the same attitude outside of here. When you consistently respond to God and His Word, it gives you humility. See how the thanksgiving and the service just push down that attitude of, I don't need this. We need this. I need this. You need this. And all it takes is a little bit of humility to get it. That's it. It's somewhere. You need to find it. You've got it. I see it all the time. We just need to keep it close to us. And this, if you have this honor and reverence directed towards God, it shows itself in what you're doing, in your obedience, in your relationship. It shows itself. It's not just going through the motions. We're talking about a soul thing here. When you begin to place Christ first in your life, above and beyond relationships with other people, above and beyond relationships with other people. Let me say that again. We can begin to express this attitude of humility towards other people. God must come first in your life. Jesus Christ must come first. Has to. Because see where it starts? Right here. The attitude of humility starts with a healthy fear of Christ. Reverence, respect. So, God can only use us if we can associate with people and not feel threatened. You realize that? How many times have we been somewhere and we feel threatened by another person? You're missing this attitude. God needs to use you where you're not threatened at all by that person. Because we get arrogant or we get prideful and all of a sudden we feel threatened. No, we need to get back in the plan of God. If God's going to prosper you, you can't be threatened. You have to realize and be secure in what God has given you and what He wants you to do within that specific situation. It may take a little sacrifice on the attitude and your service, but look at the outcome. You're serving God, and therefore you're serving that person. It may not be going to do whatever, but it's wanting to see the betterment of them. It's wanting to see them come around to Christ, maybe. It's wanting to see, say something, encouragement to them that will allow them to get to a better place in their life. And if you're in a spot in your brain where you're thinking, oh, well, I can't even hang around them, you know. How are you even going to serve? How is God going to put you in a position where a bunch of people don't like you? He can't do it. He can't do it. Can't do it. So God can only use you if we're not threatened in any way. And we can only do that through humility, reverence for the Lord. And I think that's a good place to stop. Starting to see your eyeballs spinning. Mine might be too, I don't know. So we'll pick up with this same idea next time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the ability to see that we have an issue, and Your Word so gracefully brings it out for us where we can understand it, and we can also counter it with a better way of thinking. It's Your truth. It's Your Word. It's to have a deep honor and respect for You, and we pray that we can exude that through our life, can keep that close to us, and we can remember that without humility, there's no way to grow in this spiritual life and for You to use us to the maximum way that You desire to. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.